Hello everyone and welcome to the Be Light, Shine Bright podcast. My name is Pakala Kiara and I'll be your host. Here we discuss life and how the different facets of it can influence our mental health. We will talk about therapy, interventions, mental health and life experiences. Remember, if you like it, feel free to give us a share and invite your friends and loved ones to listen. This episode is on holding space. So, what do I mean when I say holding space? Holding space is truly being there for someone else. To me, what it means to hold space is to create a space that can be filled by the other person. So when you are supporting someone or being there for them, holding space is not interjecting, it's not projecting, it's not putting your own wants and needs in communication first. It's about stepping back and creating a gap or space that can be filled by the other person. I would say that a lot of my work as a counselor involves holding space for others. Holding space is important because it allows the other person to be vulnerable with us, which is something that many people don't get to experience in a lot of areas in their life, even with their loved ones. And by you holding space for other people in your life, so you might not be a counselor like me, that's okay, holding space will still stand you in good stead with other relationships in your life. It will allow others to become more vulnerable with you and to share, you know, the deepest parts of themselves with you. Vulnerability is good because it allows us to feel protected and safe and loved when somebody else lets us be vulnerable with them. Vulnerability is really scary, so it's important to know that this is why holding space is so important. And that leads me into another reason why holding space is important, which is creating that sense of safety. Safety is one of the most paramount aspects of a relationship. Safety can be affected by a number of things in someone's life. It can be affected by things like trauma, abandonment, neglect, abuse, attachment issues. It can even be created by things like having to move around a lot as a child. So I would say that for most people there is a need to feel safe, and that could be an insecurity for one of the reasons I just listed or for another reason. Holding space allows a person to feel safe with you. They know that things that they say will be kept safe by you, that you've even took the effort to create this space for them to share and be vulnerable will help to increase feelings of safety and trust. Another reason why holding space is important is that it helps another person to feel validated. Validation is so important, and it is another area where many people may not receive many sources of validation in their life. And I see this a lot in my work with counseling. A lot of people don't know how to do this. So by you learning how to do this, you'll be positively contributing to the world as well. Validation is listening to someone and meeting them where they're at, and really acknowledging and empathizing with them. And it's a way of listening and supporting that is really needed in the world. Lots of people feel invalidated by family members, partners, relationships, friends, and things like that. One of the reasons for this is that many people don't feel comfortable listening to negative things or things that may be difficult or hard to hear. However, if you work on holding space, these things become easier to handle. Sometimes people find it hard to validate because they want to fix another person's issues, but most of the time all that's needed is that acknowledgement of how hard something is. Another reason why holding space is good is that it allows for healing and growth. When someone feels safe, validated, that it's okay to be vulnerable, it allows them to begin to heal and grow from the things that they are sharing with you. Holding space and showing others how to do it also allows other people to learn how to hold space, so it's kind of like that really cool ripple effect once we get started. This is a short interruption to let you know that if you or a loved one is experiencing difficulty or is in need of more support, you can find me at maramacounseling.com. Be sure to check out the audio resources page also, where you'll have access to a number of free resources that will help you to feel relaxed. Be sure to take advantage of my 20-minute free initial session. I am also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Can't wait to work with you. So what are some of the ways that you can hold space for another person? Like, how can we do this? How do you hold space? I would say that the first step to holding space would be to listen, to understand, and not to respond. What does this mean? Well, a lot of people listen to respond. Well, like I said before, they listen to other people's issues and immediately want to fix them or respond to them and rebut them. But sometimes we just need to really listen and hear a person and understand what it is that they're saying. So go into your interactions with this goal in mind. Really listen and seek to understand the other person. It will stand you in good stead with that person. The person will feel validated, and we won't feel that pressure that sometimes people feel. And I think this is why many people feel uncomfortable with listening to other people's sadness, anger, or other difficult emotions and feelings. Another thing, the next step that you can do while holding space is avoid trying to minimize, distract, or fix. So try not to minimize the other person's feelings. Really listen to what it is that they're saying. You can say things like, "Wow, that sounds really difficult." Even things like, "I've never been through what you're going through right now, but I can see that this is really hard for you." You don't have to have experienced something to have empathy for another person. You can use your imagination, visualize yourself in that person's shoes, imagine what it would be like to be that person, and respond with the things that you would probably like to hear if you were in that situation. Distracting can be very jarring for someone that is sharing their pain with you. If you try and change the subject or quickly start talking about something else, it can feel actually quite hurtful and wounding to the other person. And even if you feel a bit out of your depth, sometimes just be quiet and listen. Just listening is enough. Trying to fix someone's problems immediately or jumping straight to solutions can also feel jarring or a little bit heartless, like you don't care very much. And this might seem a bit like weird to wrap your head around, but sometimes people really just need to feel heard before they can start going on to solutions. So solutions might be welcome a little bit further down the track, but often people are coming to you for a listening ear and not for you to dollar advice. If advice is asked for, then that's your cue to jump in and have your say there, but sometimes it can feel a little bit heartless or careless for you to just jump straight to a solution. Often you can pinpoint what it is and what type of support someone is wanting from you by asking them, do you want me to listen to hear and understand you, or are you wanting me to listen to respond with advice? So am I listening to hear or am I listening to help? And just that simple sentence can help avoid a lot of confusion that might arise in your interaction. Allow all emotions and feelings when you're holding space for someone else. So I encourage you to start to become okay with emotions in yourself and others. It's okay for someone to feel sad. It's okay for them to cry. Sometimes that is the indicator that you need to care or support them. Care for or support them. The goal is not always to stop the crying as quickly as you can. Sometimes people need that release and that catharsis. Tears actually serve the purpose of release. So they have a physical purpose of getting something out of our eyes, but they also serve the psychic purpose of releasing our emotions. When we cry, our brain also releases neurotransmitters that help to calm and relax us as well. Anger might be one that's difficult to hold, but reminding yourself that that person is not angry at you. They're angry about things that are happening to them. You can also mirror the person that you're talking to. So when you begin to mirror them, they also begin to mirror you. So you can mirror the person. So if they're slouched over and hunched, you can lean into them and be on the same level. But then you can also start to mirror a different sitting posture that may make them feel good or better. Like I said before, validate and reflect the emotions and thoughts shared. So really hear what the person is saying. Validate. Tell them that you understand and that would be difficult. You can even reflect their emotions back to them. So if they're talking about something difficult for you, you can just be like, you know, they might say something like, oh, he just doesn't get it. Be like, you can just say, yeah, I hear you. It sounds like he doesn't get it at all. And then they'll be more likely to keep talking to you and bringing that emotion out. When we are holding space, it's our job to kind of create a safe space. And I kind of picture myself as a container for all of their thoughts and feelings and emotions. So I'm just holding it. I'm not taking it on, I'm not feeling bad for them, I'm not feeling pity, I'm not sympathizing with them, I am empathizing with them. So I'm holding it in a safe little container and I can reflect or feed it back to them if they need me to, or we can release it and help them let go of it. When we are holding space, try to be fully present and mindful. This kind of goes hand in hand with not changing the subject or trying to distract them. Try not to be distracted yourself. Try not to look as if you don't care or look away or look busy or answer your phone or do other things like that. Sometimes people just need you to be wholly there in their presence. Encouraging the person who you're holding space for to take care of their own needs and, you know, show them that you have faith that they can do that. you trust them to look after themselves. Sometimes people who are in distress may want us to take charge of things, but ultimately it is up to them to work through their pain. We can't take it away. We can be there and support them, but it is good to bolster them and let them know that we trust them and their capacity to take care of things. Then we're not taking people's lessons away from them. We are not taking people's inner work away from them. And they are doing the healing work that is, you know, lasting and empowering. Ultimately, it is empowering. Support their personal knowledge and wisdom. So I like to do this by providing psychoeducation around things that they may not know about, but also pointing them in the right direction to gain their own knowledge and to look for answers themselves. And then also encourage and acknowledge their own moments of wisdom and knowledge. So really hear what it is that they're saying and going, yeah, see, you're so strong to be able to go through all of this. Acknowledge their strengths in their adversity. Practice unconditional acceptance. So this is one of the main tenets of being a counselor, is practicing unconditional positive regard for your clients. So being accepting, even if it's something that you probably wouldn't do, or something that it's not how you would have dealt with a situation, or they live a life that's different to yours. Practicing acceptance. We should always respect others and make them feel okay to be themselves. What someone else does in their life really doesn't affect or reflect on us in any way. Being accepting will help another person to feel safe with you. Being aware of your own issues and your own stuff. So things like your defense mechanisms. If you want to know more about defense mechanisms, I did a podcast episode on those last year. I recommend listening to it. But be aware of your personal story. So your background, what may trigger you when you're holding space with someone else. And, you know, edit your response or be aware of your response and how you're responding. It might remind you of a really tough time that you went through, but this is not your tough time. This is their tough time. So just being aware of what's yours and what's theirs. Make sure you're not projecting your own stuff onto the other person. So those are all some really great ways that you can hold space for another individual. Something that many people do when someone is struggling is respond with toxic positivity. So toxic positivity is like having this kind of generic positive response that is actually quite invalidating and makes the other person feel unheard or not listened to. So I've got a few examples that I'll read out, and then some examples of validation, just so you know what validation sounds like. So toxic positivity would be saying something like, just focus on the positive. Whereas a validating response would be, I know it's difficult right now and things might easily go wrong, but how about we try and focus on how they could go right? Another toxic positivity phrase would be, oh, it could be worse. Whereas a validating response would be, this is really sad and I understand what you're feeling right now. Or it's okay that you feel that way right now. A toxic positivity response would be, well, everything happens for a reason. Whereas a validating response would sound more like, I don't know why this had to happen, and I'm so sorry that it happened to you. I'm here for you. Toxic positivity would sound like, stop focusing on what's wrong. Let's talk about something else. Whereas validation would sound more like, you can always tell me what you're going through and I'll always be here to listen. And our last example of toxic positivity would be something like, oh, positive vibes only. But a validating response would be, all energy and vibes are natural and it's okay to feel happy or sad or good or bad. Can you see how these two responses differ? So the first one, it's not negative, but it's almost passive aggressive, or it's not allowing any other response other than positive, which we can't all be positive all the time, especially when we're going through something really difficult. So the validating response is more accepting and allowing. I hope that you have gotten something useful out of this podcast episode, and I look forward to talking to you all again soon. Thanks for listening. This concludes this episode of the Be Light, Shine Bright podcast from Murrumur Counselling. I'm Pakala Kiara, and I hope you enjoyed listening today. Keep your eyes peeled and your ears ready for more episodes in the future. And remember, be light, shine bright. Until next time.